This is The Takeaway with Tanzina Vega.
We just heard about the trend of celebrity activism and whether it can actually move the needle when a famous person speaks out about a cause. My next guest is active in politics, but best known for his music.
Hey, this is Michael Render, better known as Killer Mike.
Killer Mike's been rapping for decades, coming up in the Atlanta music scene of the early 2000s, alongside groups like Outkast and Goody Mob. And today, he's one half of the rap duo Run the Jewels. But activism has been a central part of Mike's life since he was a teenager.
It's not like I had a choice. My grandmother was active civically. My grandfather had strong social and political opinions, even though he was a very working class and pro-union guy. You know, so for me, there was never a time where it was not an option. You saw a problem as a member of the community, you didn't try to aid in solving it.
A major proponent of the Bank Black movement, as well as an outspoken advocate for gun rights among people of color, recently Mike's been getting more involved in national politics. In 2016, he served as a surrogate for the Bernie Sanders campaign, and he's backing Bernie again in 2020. When I spoke to Mike, he took a step back from 2020 to give me his take on the presidency of Barack Obama.
To be the son of a white woman and an immigrant, to be a what's considered a biracial child from our community, he's a black man, right? To be considered a black man, raised by white grandparents, to come here, to be acclimated in a city like Chicago, to marry a black woman, and to truly understand the sense of struggle from a community organizing standpoint of poor and working class black people, to ascend to the office of presidency is an amazing symbol to inspire any black child in my community and beyond that in America, anything is possible. Maybe harder, maybe more difficult, may take a couple generations, but anything is possible. I love him as a symbol. As a president, in terms of practicality and policy, what he did for my community, I give him a C or C plus. And that's on average about what an American president has done for my community. Now, what my community could have done better is require more of him on his second term, or to say, hey, if we're not getting this, not only from you or your party, because they had control of the House and Senate the first 2 years, but locally, we did not put enough pressure on our black caucus members and on white Democratic senators and congressmen that needed our vote. We didn't have a real agenda. We don't have, and I think that that's something we have to develop. So not letting him off the hook as a president is much saying as to me, he's been an average president, pretty much like the other guys, right? But what I think he could have done exceptionally, if we would have been better organized, is actually meet some of the demands that Black America needs in order to progress and catch up with this 250-year wealth gap we have. You know, he could have done simple things like decriminalize marijuana so that it became harder to convict young Black men and put them on a pathway of prison. He could have done, by decriminalization, added some type of executive measure or called for some type of lobby or accepted some type of lobby that would have said, if we've had this 50-year unsuccessful drug war, then now we're going to transition and allow the people who suffered from that war to take part in the industry. So if black people make up 15% of America, 15% of cannabis has to be ran or participated in by black Americans. Could have done that. Could have done more for HBCUs and black banks in particular. I've had black banks say to me, hey, he pulled the big guys out of, you know, out of the water when they were drowning and nothing came down for us. So, you know, and that's just not me being hypercritical, just me saying that these are the things that we should have demanded.
Yeah. Barack Obama, by many, has been labeled a neoliberal. Some say he was a centrist. He has gotten criticism for not doing enough for the black community. In 2016, you endorsed Bernie Sanders, who is anything but a neoliberal, who describes himself as a democratic socialist. You're backing him again, Mike, in 2020. He's also gotten the support of Cardi B, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Why is Bernie doing so well with people like you, Cardi B, and AOC?
Let me tell you, man, Annie's got S&T, Senator Nina Turner. So Nina is a big part of the reason I'm there. I love the fact that AOC and Cardi are there because more women need to be politically involved. And I love what Cardi said about being a working class woman who pays taxes and having an opinion. If you pay taxes, you deserve an opinion. Gone are the days when people say because you sing and dance for a living, you shouldn't have an opinion. Gone are the days when they say because you're a young woman, you shouldn't have an opinion. Your opinion matters, right? And we all sit at the table. We have different opinions, but we're trying to figure out what's best for our community. And what I know is democratic socialism is not new to America, right? If you went to public school and you ate free breakfast, that's a form of democratic socialism, right? because you get to be educated for free based on tax dollars. I may not have any children or have any interest in paying for taxes for a better school. But if I'm your neighbor, I pay my taxes, they help educate and feed your child. So we don't have to be afraid of that.
A couple of debates ago, your candidate Bernie Sanders said on stage, look, I'm a white guy, right? And I think that message is brought home even more recently now that the Democratic field has lost Kamala Harris, Julian Castro, and Cory Booker. Why do you think the candidates of color in what was supposed to be a diverse Democratic field are no longer there? I mean, doesn't that have to do with capitalism to a certain extent? We're now looking at a pretty much all-white potential nominee slate.
Well, I judge a king by their council or a queen by their council. And again, the people you named, I like them as people. I've liked some of their legislation, some of it is not. But the policy, the person whose policy, when I close my eyes and I'm not looking at the person for their physical characteristics, the person whose policy best matches one of the black people that I grew up looking up to, like in a Christ-like manner, Dr. Martin Luther King, is Bernie Sanders. His policy matches the poor people's campaign policy closer than any politician I've ever seen. You know, so my thing is, if you're going to say black is the only measure, then that tells me don't look for a John Brown. Don't look for an ally who's willing to do what's totally just and put his own life in peril. In Sanders, what I see is an ally who's willing to do what's totally just, who's had the same message or progressed his message as he's learned more over the process of 50, 60 years. I've not seen that out of other candidates, be them black or white.
Well, there is one candidate we haven't named yet, and that is Elizabeth Warren, who is, you could say, by many standards, battling it out with Bernie directly. She's the other progressive candidate in the 2020 race. And I'm wondering, she keeps polling lower with black and Latino communities in particular than both Biden and Bernie. Is sexism any part of that? I mean, there's been reporting recently, Mike, about, you know, Bernie saying that women can't be president, et cetera, et cetera. Where do you think that falls into this?
Well, what the statement you just made, I simply don't believe, and it has not been confirmed. And in fact, it's been disputed. What I do know is this man has fought on the behalf of women, blacks, gays, indigenous people, immigrants, those who look like him, those who do not look like him, the small guy, the worker, the prisoner. You know what I mean? He's fought for it every step of the way. I was a kid in the 80s. It's not like they gave us the greatest amount of confidence that you were ever going to see a black or woman president. I remember when Geraldine Ferraro was running as vice president, I believe with Mondale. You know, so for me, I've seen things in my lifetime that I never thought were going to happen. And you look back at the tape and he's the politician telling you it's going to happen and it should have happened faster. What I want to avoid in these times is saying, hey, you're a Bernie bro. So you like guys and you don't like women. And this is not, because that's not true. So let's get it right the first time. We missed out on an opportunity to elect this man in 2016. We see where we are with the world now, where people are uncomfortable, nervous. Are we on the brink of war? We have an opportunity now to have a redo. Are we going to be brave enough, bold enough, and confident enough to do it? Or are we going to cower in fear that it can't be done and be ruled by the same masters? That's it. It's a very simple question for us to ask ourselves.
Killer Mike is a rapper and activist. Mike, thanks for being with us on The Takeaway.
I appreciate you guys. I hope I didn't get too talky, but thank you guys so much.